Welcome, everyone, to Eagles 360 on this Tuesday from the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity set. Dave Spadaro along with Glenn Macnow, and we hate to do it, but we will take a peek back from Glenn's perspective at Sunday's loss to Miami.
It's not going
to
be any brighter than yours.
I understand. We're going to turn the page and look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town, a young and rising team, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, they do have young talent that's coming along, okay. Rookie quarterback.
Nice win against Dallas on Sunday. But first, Glenn, there is uncertainty at the quarterback position on this Tuesday. Sam Bradford in uniform, no helmet, no practice. But the fact that he's on the field means that he's passed the first stage of the concussion protocol and leaves open the chance that he could play on Sunday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, how about that? I still right now would be extremely doubtful to see it, but if it's not being ruled out, I'm not the person who can rule it out. He's not only got the concussion, but he's got the shoulder, the collarbone, the AC. So I would be really surprised to see him there. But, hey, if he wants to get out and give it a go in practice and the team doctor and, as you said, the concussion protocol approves it, we'll see it.
And if it's not Sam Bradford, it's Mark Sanchez. Your thoughts on Mark Sanchez? And we all know the turnovers, but if the Eagles are in a position where you got to turn to a quarterback they think is the best backup in the league, you need to find a way to win.
Well, and that's what Mark Sanchez is. He's a really good backup, but now he's forced to start, and he's forced to start, fortunately, against a young team that's got a defense that he probably can beat. The thing with Sanchez is you just got to watch the turnovers. I'll tell you the one thing. He did, when he was in there, move the offense at a very good pace. I was pleased to see that. He comes in, they move.
Yeah, well, they didn't move enough into the end zone. Anyway, so we'll talk about that a little later on. Let's get you caught up on everything happening with the Philadelphia Eagles on this Tuesday as the players back on the field shaking off the cobwebs from Sunday's very tough loss.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith, and this is your 360 update. The Eagles were back at work here at the NovaCare Complex today as they get set for Sunday afternoon's matchup with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The big news today was that quarterback Sam Bradford did not practice with the team, though he did watch from the sidelines. Inside the Eagles locker room, we heard from a number of the Eagles receivers on how this Eagles offense is different if quarterback Mark Sanchez is at the helm.
We want to make sure Sam gets back healthy as possible quickly. I feel like me and Sam were definitely building a rapport with each other. It's no secret. I feel like me and Sanchez do have a great relationship, a great chemistry out there on the field. So I know when he's out there, there are a lot of, you know, opportunities that can come up.
They're different styles of quarterbacks, yes. But does our scheme change? Does our play calling change? No, all of that stuff's going to pretty much stay the same, to be honest with you. But
I think no matter who's in, whether it's a receiver, tight end, I think everyone's almost called interchangeable in this offense. Same with quarterback. I mean, we know Sam's strengths. We know Mark's strengths. And even though they're two very different quarterbacks, the offense hasn't really changed too much.
Meanwhile, another area of the game that the Eagles are looking to shore up on Sunday is the play of the offensive line. Today we heard from Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson on what the line needs to do better on Sunday.
The things that really killed us, obviously, were the two holding penalties, the false start and the bad snap. And really up front, we tend to play our best games when I'm not making mistakes. And I know that's a very selfish way to look at things, but I think that when I take care of my things and I'm a calm, cool, collected guy in the middle.
It'll be decided on Sunday, but no, I'm expecting to play right. I think JP will try to go a little bit more tomorrow. He went more than he has been today, so yeah, but I expect to play right today.
Taking a look at this Sunday's opponent, the Eagles will be facing the number one overall draft pick from this past year's draft in quarterback Jameis Winston. Today we heard from defensive coordinator Bill Davis and safety Malcolm Jenkins on what Winston has been doing so well.
He's impressive. He really is. As a rookie, I was very impressed with the poise. They're actually giving him some checks at the line, and he's doing a good job with it. I think he's protecting the ball well. He's not forcing the ball. I just got done watching that Tennessee game where he wasn't quite the very first game of the season where he turned it over a little bit. Since then, I think he's learned every week. I think he's grown every week.
He makes some plays that, you know, you kind of take your hat off to him and you say, okay, he's definitely an NFL quarterback. But at the same time, he does some things that all rookies do, and you scratch your head or you see opportunities where you can make plays.
For all of the latest Eagles news, including the Inside the Locker Room interview with backup quarterback Thad Lewis, be sure to stay tuned right here to PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thanks so much, Alex. We've got a lot to get to today. Our first look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a little trip down the world of fantasy football as the playoffs are starting pretty soon, right?
Not for me.
Do you care?
I do care. I play.
Is your suicide pool, are you still alive in it?
Oh, man. No, I'm long gone. But the suicide pool, 18,000 people started. This is the NFL this year. 48 alive.
Wow.
Never had this kind of dropout.
That's
it's
awesome.
Upset City.
That's awesome. Will he get to the final week, do you think?
I certainly hope at least one person does.
Yeah.
You got to have one guy standing at the end.
Very cool. Anyway, when we return, Glenn wants to bring up five takeaways with an eye toward the future from that 20-19 loss to the Miami Dolphins.
Dunkin's new sweet black pepper bacon sandwich with double the slices of caramelized crispy peppered bacon. It's the bacon experience you've been waiting for. Bacon up. America runs on Dunkin'.
130 yards now. Bill's got a very tough lie here. Looks like we have some sort of sea monster in the water hazard here.
I believe that's a Kraken, Bruce.
Looks like he's going to go with the 9-iron. That may not be enough club.
Well, he's definitely going to lose a stroke on this hole.
If you're a golf commentator, you whisper. It's what you do. If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
This golf course is electric.
I got tickets, Metro tickets.
You need a Metro ticket. Talk to me, please.
How do I even know
these
are tickets?
Yeah, you know, you just touch it.
How do I know they're legit?
Is this leather legit? I mean, how do we really know? It looks good, right?
Is the Metro paying you to do this?
No, I'm paying myself. I got to make
that
profit.
That makes more sense.
Does the baby need a Metro ticket? I'll give her one on me. These tickets, they're not stealing your soul. You can look at them. Man, nobody wants to buy tickets from a guy on the street. I don't understand.
Yes, Eagle One.
I never go anywhere without my Bomba heating.
Roger that, Eagle One.
Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro along with Glenn Macnell. It's Eagles 360. We're live Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We've got a lot of football here in the next week and a couple of days. Exciting. I'm not giving up hope on this football team. I know that it is disappointing to be 4-5. It is unsettling to be 4-5. It is underachieving to be 4-5.
A lot of uns.
But the fact is,
unhappy.
But, yeah, no doubt. But the division is unclaimed.
Yes, it is. And the Giants almost beat the Patriots.
Doesn't matter.
In the end, they did not, and they lost. And Dallas is 2-7. And I don't believe in Washington.
I don't believe in Washington, but they're playing hard football.
I know they are.
And they're also in the mix. So it's what the NFL wants. And even Dallas, in theory, is still alive in the NFC East.
Yeah, well, they believe so.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas is alive.
All right, you've got some takeaways from Miami.
I do. So here you go. Here's number one. Number one is Jason Peters needs to get healthy fast. And let's hope he does. We all wondered after one game how Dennis Kelly was going to do. Well, the answer is he had one real good game against Dallas, not so much. And Lane Johnson, who had looked so good on the left side the week before, really looked poor against Miami. Four quarterback hits he allowed, another penalty. Jason Peters, I don't know what's wrong, but man, get healthy soon.
And the good news is that on Tuesday, today, he was on the practice field. He was getting loose. And Jason Peters, prior to the game on Sunday, was on the field. It looked like he was going to give it a go, at least would be in uniform when the Eagles announced their inactives 90 minutes before kickoffs. Jason Peters among them, and you saw the toll that took on the offensive line. I agree with you.
Jason, all around.
A healthy, dominant Jason Peters makes so much difference for this Eagles offense.
All right, so here you go. Here's number two, and it's kind of related to it. It's separate from that, but as long as we're going down the line. This offseason, the Eagles really are going to have to put an emphasis on the interior offensive line. It was a very tough day for Matt Tobin. And it was, again, another really tough day for Jason Kelce. Would he have three penalties, a bad snap? He had a rough time all day with Sue and Ndamukong Suh. Certainly, as we look ahead, we look back and we look ahead, interior of the offensive line is going to need some revamping this offseason.
Tampa Bay is not to be trifled with inside, with Gerald McCoy leading the way. That defensive front is young.
Yeah.
It's powerful. It's very fast. They stopped the run. They're really stout in the 4-3 alignment. Tampa Bay's got a really good front seven. The Eagles' offensive line will be challenged on Sunday.
All right. Here you go. Here's number three, and I want to throw something, kind of a word of tribute to somebody, and this is the week to do it. Brent Celek, boy, had a terrific day. 140 yards passing, three catches for 120 in the first, 134 overall. And Brent Celek is just the guy who's the ultimate Eagle. He's been here a long time. He does whatever you need him to do. And beyond that, he's a great guy in the community. I did a charity thing with him last Monday that was his event. And it was great to see, even as they lose, Brent Celek have a 100-yard receiving day. 8 years apart, great to see him do it.
Yeah, and, you know, he's been able to stand the test of time. He's turned himself from early in his career, a pass catcher, really involved going down the field, making plays, into a blocker, an inline blocker, which is not easy to do. He's added strength, and then he's lost weight as his career has gone along, and he still has maintained that technique inside as a blocker. Now he gets featured in the pass game against Miami and did a terrific job. I, too, agree with you. One of the all-time Eagles since I've been covering this football
Absolutely.
Team. High tribute to Brent Celek.
I think we may have a little room for debate on the last two. It was nice to see Michael Kendricks be productive in this game. Seven tackles, had the sack, really did help on the pass rush. Kiko Alonso still working his way back in. D'Amico Ryans, I thought, had a tough day against the run. He's still working his way back in. As you lose Jordan Hicks, you're going to need a lot more production. Inside linebacker, it was nice to see a productive game out of Michael Kendricks.
Yeah, I think Michael is still a bit inconsistent, still at times undisciplined against the run. I really liked seeing him come off the edge and go get the quarterback. He's got that great burst. I'd love to see more packages with him rushing off the edge, because I think that's one element that this defense is lacking, and that's a pure edge rusher. So while Kendricks certainly has improved since he came back from his injury, I have such a high standard for him that I want to see him really in the backfield a lot more, particularly against the run. The run defense, Glenn, is going to be tested this week.
It is going to be tested. They're pretty good. The quarterback is back to what he was as a rookie.
And the quarterback's mobile.
He is. He's not rushing for a lot of yards yet, but he can move around. All right, so here you go with number five. I would say, and this is looking ahead to the, I believe this week, if you're going to have Sanchez start, and I expect that he will, I think Chip Kelly is going to have to be a little more conservative on the play call with Mark Sanchez.
What do you mean?
Well, here's what I mean. Mark Sanchez is the guy we know who can move a team but is prone to some interceptions at inopportune times. The play that I think a lot of people are talking about, and I will be among them, you'll probably disagree, that attempted pass that was the interception in the end zone, I thought, boy, you've got an opportunity there. Run that ball. Run it in. You can score that way. If you don't, you get the field goal, you take the lead late. I like the way the defense was playing. I didn't like a pass into the middle of the end zone with those wide receivers and that quarterback at that time. I remember Joe Gibbs once said, I did a profile on him, and he once said to me, you got to coach the players you have, not the players you wish you had. You got Miles Austin, you got Mark Sanchez, you got to coach for those guys.
Fair point, valid argument. I will tell you that that pass play, and this is really what the coaches have been saying all week, the pass play itself, it was a roll left. There were three options, deep, middle, short. And Mark tried to go for the touchdown. And it was a poor, and as it turns out, decision. And I understand you want to be a little bit more conservative with Mark Sanchez. At the same time, the run game had just been snuffed. I agree with the idea of going for the touchdown. There were still 4-plus minutes left in the game.
He's Mark Sanchez.
But you trust him to make that pass. It's not going to be his, where he's going to excel. You just spent $5 million, $9 million over 2 years to keep Mark Sanchez in town.
That's fine.
So you can throw screens all you want.
He's not throwing his paycheck at
You got to find a way to get in the end zone. And Mark,
I would be good with a screen.
He's throwing interceptions on screens, too. They happen. They happen.
That's a fair point. But in the middle of the end zone there, no.
Okay. Well, I disagree. I thought the play call was okay. I thought the execution, the decision was a problem. Well, I mean,
that's my point.
That's on Mark.
Yes, but he's going to do that.
But you can't roll up the tents and never throw a pass with Mark Sanchez because you're scared of a turnover. You won't win games that way.
I believe I've made my point.
Okay, you made your point, and it is a valid one. I respect it. I disagree with it, but I respect it. We return with a look, of course, at the next opponent, the 4-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming into South Philadelphia on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff, when we return, first look at Tampa Bay.
Give me more chips?
Fellas?
I'm sorry.
We were daydreaming.
About that VIP tailgate and game tickets?
Yeah.
That pregame sideline experience.
Exactly.
Or even Eagles season tickets.
How do you know?
We both have the new instant game from the Pennsylvania Lottery.
Yeah, the Eagles instant game with top prizes of 50 grand.
And second chance prizes including season tickets.
The Pennsylvania Lottery. Bring your dreams to life.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill. Regional Rail.
I step to Philly, the Broad Street Line on game days.
A la bodega. To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. This season, shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Bob's Discount Furniture, the official furniture store of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's time for a first look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Welcome back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider, and Glenn Macnell. Eagles looking to get to 500 again. And Tampa Bay comes to town with a 4-5 record, a young, improving team. And I think that they've played really hard for Lovie Smith.
I think they have. And, you know, they went on the road at Dallas. Dallas is not a very good team. But even so, a young team like that, you know, everybody predicted they're going to lose 10, 11 games this year. They're 4-5. They got a little momentum. They start to believe in themselves.
Yeah. And some interesting parallels. So Tampa Bay, their red zone defense, worst in the league. The Eagles' red zone offense, 31st in the league. And if Mark Sanchez is the quarterback, as we talked about in the last segment, you got to find a way to put the biscuit in the basket, as they say.
Movable object versus resistible force.
We start at the quarterback position, and we'll look at Jameis Winston here, a good football player, first pick in the draft. He's scored touchdowns on the ground in 3 straight games. So he's not a speedster, but he does get outside the pocket, and that's something you have to respect.
Yeah, he's only got 110 rushing yards this year, but he is a tough guy to sack and is able to buy time back there in the pocket. He had 2 interceptions against Dallas. It had ended a streak where he had gone 4 games without an interception. He's also prone to fumble. If you remember the end of Dallas last week, he fumbled on the goal line, penalty against Dallas, kind of a dubious one, gets him the ball back, and then they go in and score. He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes, but he's a really talented kid.
Yeah, and we are projecting at this point Mark Sanchez, nothing official, not even close, against Sam Bradford at practice today, watching from the sidelines. No further word on his condition. The running backs, well, we've got some injury concerns there because the Eagles not sure who's going to go. It looks like Ryan Matthews didn't practice on Tuesday, so DeMarco Murray would be in line to have a really busy day, which is tough with 2 games in a span of 4 days. But for Tampa Bay, you mentioned him, the Doug Martin, the little hamster, is that what he's, the muscle hamster?
He
hates the nickname.
Despises.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but he's a heck of a running back.
He's a heck of a running back. He was great as a rookie in 2012. He's had 2 real injury-plagued seasons. Looked like he wasn't going to get it back. He does have it back this year. He's averaging, what, 4.4 yards a carry and looking really good. By the way, his backup, Charles Sims, is also very good. He's averaging 4.6 yards a carry. They can run the ball.
Yeah, and they can run the football, and they will run the football, and they will do so to set up the passing game, which is led by second-year wide receiver Mike Evans. Now, Mike Evans is big. He's strong. He'd had 1 game where he dropped 6 passes against the Giants, but otherwise, Glenn, he is very tough to handle.
Very tough.
He is a big Eagles in the next 2 weeks go against this kid, Mike Evans, and then Megatron. Yeah. I mean, these are power forwards in the NBA, much less the NFL.
Right, this is why the Eagles addressed their secondary in the offseason, and this will be a real big test for them to see how they can do it. Don't know yet if Vincent Jackson is going to play, who's the other wide receiver, who's only 6'5", 240, slowing down at age 32, but still a very good and dangerous player. Mike Evans, as you said, he had the 6 drops? I thought it was 5, but he leads the league in drops. He did have that one horrible, horrible game. He is dangerous. He gets open. When he gets the ball, he's real hard to tackle. They have a nice, bright future with some of those kids.
Yeah, 16.6 yards per catch, so he is a catch-and-run threat. The Eagles will have to tackle him, very powerful with the football in his hands. At tight end, the Eagles, of course, with Celek, who's been productive, Zach Ertz more involved in the offense. And for Tampa Bay, Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's missed some time, really talented. We expect him to play on Sunday.
He is 6'6", 260 pounds. You combine that with their wide receiver, man. They got about 20 feet of receiver in there. It's going to be a tough test for the secondary.
The defense, the Eagles' defense, we know. They've been on the field too long, Glenn. Tampa Bay's defense stops the run, does a nice job, but really nothing spectacular there with those two defenses. I kind of expect a low-scoring game.
I would tend to agree with you. Yeah, I think so. I mean, Tampa Bay won last week, coming up with about six.
10-6
10-6 Excuse me. They won the 10-6
That was Matt Castle, though.
Yeah, I understand, but they only put up 10 points on Dallas, and Dallas's defense is nothing special. So,
right.
You're asking about their defense. I'm sorry. Yes, their defense. Their defense is
get with the program.
That's
here.
Okay. I'm one step.
It's all these
you.
Games so fast. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. I really am. After our Sanchez conversation, I really want to hear. See, I want him to throw 5 touchdowns from the 8-yard line on Sunday.
Do you now?
Of course.
Here's what I want to see him do. I want to see him throw some safe passes in the zone. Tampa Bay secondary is nothing special. So what you do is you get the ball, you beat them on short passes that they can't stop and matriculate down the
Nicely
field.
Done.
That's what I want him to do.
I say go after their safeties because they're not special at all. Chris Conte back there is somebody who I watched in Chicago a lot and somebody who I think you can really have a lot of success against. Anyway, that's your first look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Next up on Eagles 360, we are going to take a trip down fantasy lane. It's time for our look into the world of fantasy football.
My Jennings Power Reclining Sofa or Power Reclining Console Love Seat, only $6.99 each.
Recline with the touch of a button. Supreme support with Bob-O-Pedic Memory Foam Seating.
Your choice, only $6.99 each. Only at My Bob's Discount Furniture.
Experience the power of physical therapy at NovaCare Rehabilitation. We know the importance of an active lifestyle. If you're currently injured, let us bring that active lifestyle back to you. NovaCare is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. And with more than 100 convenient locations throughout Philadelphia and South Jersey, go to NovaCare.com today and request an appointment online or call 800-770-6682. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
Carbs to compete. Electrolytes to replenish. Everything you need to keep sweating.
Catch holiday cookie cheer on the tip of your tongue with Dunkin' Donuts holiday cookie flavored coffees, lattes, and macchiatos. Enjoy every sip of the new Snickerdoodle Macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'.
We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack. Now time now for a look at fantasy football. Our fantasy spin with Alex Smith and Joe Dolan.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith, and welcome to another edition of Fantasy Spin presented by Bud Light. I am joined, as I am every week, by Joe Dolan, the managing editor of FantasyGuru.com. Joe, I thought we could start off today by talking about some of the quarterbacks around the league. And let's start off right here in Philadelphia. What does Mark Sanchez, going into the Eagles offense, as it looks like he will for at least this week, what does that mean for fantasy?
Well, keep in mind that Mark Sanchez was a top 10 fantasy quarterback as a starting quarterback in Philadelphia last year. But you also have to keep in mind that Sam Bradford hadn't been playing at that level, at least for fantasy. Personally, I thought Sam Bradford over the last couple weeks, last three or so games, had really started to look more comfortable. So it's a shame that he's gone down. But Mark Sanchez, if he's going to start, I think he's a viable streaming quarterback, especially with the Eagles' upcoming couple of games. So if you don't get punished for turnovers, and look, Chip Kelly will tell you, Mark Sanchez looked like he was very comfortable running that offense. He was running it with tempo. He was making good plays. And then he turned the ball over. That's what happened last year when he started. And if you can live through that, Mark Sanchez is a viable fantasy starting quarterback, especially this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Joe, Peyton Manning has really struggled all season long, dealing with a lot of injury issues. Finally, he gets benched this week. Brock Osweiler is into the lineup. If you're a fantasy owner, what do you do with Peyton Manning right now?
I mean, you should have dropped him weeks ago, quite frankly. Obviously, he is a blatantly obvious drop right now. Alex, in quarterbacks in the NFL, Peyton Manning is currently 33rd in fantasy points per game. That means there are teams with multiple quarterbacks who have started multiple games ahead of Peyton Manning. He has been really bad, but it was very possible for Peyton Manning to decline this year without looking this bad. I think the injuries are clearly an issue, but he's just not helping your fantasy team. He is an obvious drop for me at this point. Heck, I'm somebody who said if you needed the roster spot, you could have dropped Andrew Luck. So I'm definitely dropping Peyton Manning.
Joe, it's kind of hard to believe, but the fantasy football playoffs are just a few weeks away. So right now, let's look at some guys who have some favorable playoff schedules this year, and we'll start things off with Cam Newton in Carolina.
Oh, the Carolina Panthers, really nice. Now, I'm considering weeks 14 through 16, Alex, to be the typical fantasy playoffs. I generally like to just do 15 and 16. I don't like playing in week 17 in season-long leagues. It's a big daily week for me. So if we're talking about weeks 14 through 16, Cam Newton, you have an argument that he could be the number one quarterback for fantasy rest of season, and he gets Atlanta twice in weeks 14 and 16, and he gets the Giants mixed in there in week 15. So I'm really liking Cam Newton. Just keep in mind that the Carolina Panthers could very easily lock up the number one seed in the NFC really early. That could be an issue, especially if Carolina wants to rest Cam Newton. But as we stand right now, he's got really one of the best playoff schedules for quarterbacks moving forward.
Moving from the quarterback position to running back, how about Frank Gore in Indy?
Well, it depends a lot on what Andrew Luck's going to do. Number one, Andrew Luck needs to get healthy. But under Matt Hasselbeck, the Colts have actually won some games, and I think they're going to have to run the football. And Frank Gore's got a really nice schedule. He goes at Jacksonville in week 14, play the Texans in week 15 at home, and then goes to Miami in week 16. And outside of last week against the Eagles, Miami's really been a poor run defense. We'll see if they can improve, but I like Frank Gore's schedule moving forward. He's been a guy who might not be carrying your fantasy team, but he's certainly been a contributor this season.
Out west, we know that the San Diego Chargers love to throw the football, so you're looking at Stevie Johnson there for the Bolts.
Absolutely. At Kansas City in week 14, it's been one of the best matchups for wide receivers this year. Miami at home in week 15. Then he goes to the black hole to take on Oakland in week 16. I'm not really sure what the Chargers' standing is going to be at that point, but Phillip Rivers is a competitor. You can still see, even though they've won just two games this year, Rivers really wants to win as much as possible, and Stevie Johnson is going to be their number one receiver for the rest of the year.
Another team that really likes to throw the football and a team that the Eagles will be seeing in just a couple of weeks is the Detroit Lions, and you like Eric Ebron, their young tight end.
I do. He's got a different schedule than most because he goes to St. Louis in week 14, but St. Louis has had some struggles with tight ends. Matter of fact, we saw Zach Miller of the Bears absolutely torch them this past week. Then here's the big one, at New Orleans in week 15. I know Rob Ryan just got fired, but I just don't see the talent level on that defense. And then he plays at home against San Francisco in week 16. So Eric Ebron's probably a tight end available on a lot of waiver wires. And if you're looking for somebody who could really see some positive matchups down the stretch, Eric Ebron's going to be a guy in that mix.
All right, Joe. Great stuff as always from Joe Dolan, the managing editor at fantasyguru.com. Be sure to follow Joe on Twitter at @FG_Dolan and listen to him on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. That'll wrap things up for this week's edition of Fantasy Spin, presented by Bud Light.
Thanks so much, guys. When we return to Eagles 360, I'm putting Glenn Macnow on the spot. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apple, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in. You'll see the changes. You'll feel it. You'll love it.
What if this year, we went around the table and instead of saying what we're thankful for, we said who we're thankful for? Lincoln Financial helps provide financial security for those who are always there for you. Because this is what you do for people you love. Take charge of your now at LincolnFinancial.com. Lincoln Financial, you're in charge.
got tickets, Metro tickets.
You need a Metro ticket. Talk to me, please.
How do I even know these are real tickets?
You just touch it.
How do I know they're legit?
Is this leather legit? I mean, how do we really know? It looks good, right?
Is the Metro paying you to do this?
No, I'm paying myself. I gotta make profit.
That makes more sense.
Does the baby need a Metro ticket? I'll give her one on me. These tickets, they're not stealing your soul. You can look at them. Man, nobody wants to buy tickets from a guy on the street. I don't understand.
Love the Eagles? Play the new instant game from the Pennsylvania Lottery. Players must be 18 or older. Please play responsibly. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider, along with Glenn Mack. Now, final segment. I'm going to put you on the spot. Seven games left.
Yes.
How many Eagles wins?
I didn't know there was going to be math in this. All right.
There is.
So I would say they're going to win four out of the next seven.
Which would mean 8-8.
Certainly Detroit, yes. 8-8. Yeah.
And is that enough to win the division?
It's enough to win the division if they beat the Giants the last day of the season, January 3rd, which has got to be a Sunday night.
Okay, I would think so.
Okay.
Is there what one area will improve? These are my bold. This is setting you up for Thursday's bold prediction.
Okay, good.
What one area will improve the most between now and the end of the season?
The run game. I still believe DeMarco Murray is going to get hot. I've been saying it all along. We've seen flashes. It was good up until last week. They didn't have it this week. I think the running game is going to come back.
I say it's the red zone offense, the one that has to improve the most. The Eagles...
Well, then that better be the running
game.
You
cannot keep living on field goals and turnovers in the red zone. It's been something that, as much as Chip Kelly has moved the football up and down the field with this offense in two-plus seasons, the red zone efficiency has not been as efficient as you need it to be. And this is when the Eagles, they've gone out and got bigger receivers. They've gotten a quarterback in Sam Bradford who they felt would be more effective in the red zone. That has not happened this year. Again, the Eagles 31st in touchdown efficiency in the red zone. And you're not going to win games like that.
No. So in a certain sense, you can marry our ideas.
Yes, because the Eagles need to run the football better.
My big guy and have them run it in.
They must run the football better in the red zone. So what's ahead for us? What's ahead for you? Amoroso's on the menu segment. We've got a good one for you on Wednesday. Head coach Chip Kelly in studio. Chris McPherson, a cover two segment with some Philadelphia beat reporters. And then we're going to talk a little NFC East. And, you know, Joe DeCamera's coming in. We're going to wrap about the East, and I ask him how many wins he thinks the Eagles will get and how many it takes to win the NFC East. All right?
I think eight could do it.
And then Thursday, Glenn's back with some bold predictions. We got a lot of football for you here. Tampa Bay on Sunday and Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. For Glenn McNeil, Dave Spadaro, we thank you for joining us on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.